This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is a special Schnei Fanboy podcast on Riverdale. Sugar, oh honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Honey, oh sugar, sugar. Special Schnei Fanboy podcast on Riverdale. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about the pilot for Riverdale, the new comic book TV show based in the Archie universe, set in the CW.
Yeah, not only based in the Archie universe, but on the CW and executive produced by Greg Berlanti, who has done such a great job on Arrow and The Flash and all that sort of stuff. And additionally, it's also got Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who you might remember as a comic writer who's written a lot of Archie comics, but also one of the writers on Glee.
Yeah, but he's the chief creative officer of Archie. He's the one behind Afterlife with Archie. He developed this show.
Yep.
But you're right, he also worked on Glee. They should just change the CW to Berlanti.
Berlantiverse, yeah.
I think he has like 8 of the 10 hours of the on the network. I'm really hoping that somehow The Flash will run to this universe and we'll just have a all comics crossover.
That would be cool.
This is a reimagining of the Archie universe in a modern day setting. Spoilers ahead if you haven't watched the pilot. We're talking about what happened.
The first episode aired on Thursday, January 26th on the CW. We've watched it. The first episode is called The River's Edge, which begins a series of episode titles that are named after movies, which I kind of like to see the look of that. So episode 2 is A Touch of Evil, then Body Double, then The Last Picture Show. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
I'm going to start off by saying I found this to be both infuriating and wildly entertaining, and I loved every minute of it.
I found this to be not as infuriating, but wildly entertaining, and I'm all in. Yes,
all in.
Awesome.
But see, the thing is, I'm an old school Archie fan. When I was a kid, all I wanted was an Archie TV show. I was like, why isn't there an Archie TV show? There was that dumbass Return to Riverdale movie they did with like the 20th reunion of the high school, and they all came back as like middle aged people, and I watched that very excitedly, and it was stupid.
Yeah.
But so I had a little piece of paper.
Well. I think it's also important to note that. So before we get into your notes, you're a big Archie fan. I'm a big CW fan, and that goes back to not just the CW, but I'm actually a big fan of hour long drama in the vein of my favorite TV show of all time, Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, we're gonna get to that. There's a lot of that in here.
Oh, there's a lot of that in there. But in the past 20 years, we've gone from 90210 to, you know, to the OC and Gossip Girl, and then to Berlanti, and I feel like this is the culmination of like the comics influence and the drama influence, and you know, a little Twin Peaks and all that stuff, all converging in Riverdale, and I loved it. So
We'll put my notes aside for a second. Let's talk about what it was about. So it opens with those creepy twins, Cheryl and Jason Blossom, going on a rowboat ride on the river on July 4th, and only one of them comes out, Cheryl Blossom. Jason has gone missing, presumed dead, and that is school is coming back right after July 4th for some bizarre reason. But the big talk in school is the dead Jason Blossom, who was sort of the it
big
football
man,
player
big,
in
big man on campus, right?
And also the arrival of Veronica Lodge, the new student at Riverdale High. So that's kind of where that leads the end of the story, in which Archie has blossomed into a man now that they are sophomores. That's the first thing I thought of with the 90210 influence. These are the most mature sophomores we've seen on TV in a while. I was like 14 when I was a sophomore. These are like, yeah. You know, adults.
Right. But, yeah.
That was fun. Betty's in love with Archie. Archie is the boy next door. Veronica thinks Archie's interesting. Archie is being pulled in multiple directions. He's working for his dad at his dad's construction company, but he also is playing football. But
he's decided that he believes his voice is music, and so he's been writing songs. And then Jughead is there, and he's kind of the de facto narrator. He's writing about what's going on in Riverdale, and you get the sense that there's a disconnection. And you find out later on that him and Archie are somewhat estranged friends. And we meet Josie of Josie and the Pussycats, who have a band in the school. So they're all there. The whole Kevin Keller is there. Reggie, Moose, they're all there.
Are they?
Are they?
They have an APB out for a few people, Ron.
Okay, who are you looking for?
Where's Midge? Where's Chuck? Where's Nancy? Where's Mr. Goddamn Weatherby? These are people I expected to see in the pilot. We saw Dilton Doily for about 2 seconds.
Yep.
Jughead is the narrator, but we only see him on screen for about a couple of minutes.
One scene, that's it, yeah. Yeah.
You see him briefly in the very beginning, I think, and then he's got a scene with Archie at the end. But luckily from the scenes from upcoming episodes, he's in it a lot. So I was worried they were sort of shunting him off to the side.
Yeah.
But Jughead was barely in it, Dilton was barely in it. But no Midge, no Chuck, no Nancy.
Pops is there. That was nice to see Pops. So
Pop.
Yeah.
Pop 8, Chocolate Shop.
I love that you're an Archie nerd. I love it.
I really had a problem with this. So there was a lot of cross racial casting, which I didn't necessarily have a problem with. So here, Pop is black. No, that's not a big deal. My problem with Pop was in the book, he's everybody's sort of surrogate father figure, and he's sort of charming and everyone likes him. The guy they cast as him couldn't be less charming.
Yeah.
And could barely get his dialogue out. It was like, this is Pop's the center of it all.
It's the peach pit.
Yeah. Everyone goes there. Everything happens there. He's the guy they always look to for advice or there's trouble. And the guy they cast couldn't have been less interesting.
I would not be surprised if he is not replaced in the next issue in the next episode, because I'm looking on Wikipedia and they don't even list the actor playing Pop.
Right.
In the cast, so as a recurring cast. So I'd be curious to hear from that. But let's get to the casting. How do you feel? We got Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, you've got Veronica's mother, you got Archie's father. How do we feel about the casting here?
Yeah, Pop Tate's only listed as one in one episode of 13. They've got everybody else. So I liked a lot of it. I thought the three main characters, Archie, Betty, and Veronica were fine. Yeah. They're 22-year-olds playing 14-year-olds, and they're good. KJ Apa is a good Archie. Yeah. He's gonna have really his hair is gonna be really fucked up after years of it being dyed red, but nothing he can do about that. Yeah. Betty was good, Lily Reinhardt, and Veronica Lodge by Camila Mendez. I thought they were all good.
Yeah, so I think Veronica was the standout for me, because I think that she moves to Riverdale from New York City after under an air of scandal, as her father has gone to prison for embezzlement or whatever, right? And so
he's on trial.
He's on trial for embezzlement. Yeah,
Bernie Madoff type of fraud cut guy.
Yeah. And you get the sense of she thinks she's better than everybody and stuff like that. But like as being a casual Archie fan, I never really understood the Betty and Veronica being friends kind of thing, because they come from different worlds. But they really handled that really well here. They bonded as girls. I will admit I was a little disappointed with the handling of Betty, because I felt as if Betty was a bit too doe-eyed. Like, I always thought Betty was capable, and she was a little bit, you know, that maybe this is young in her kind of whole thing, whatever, but having her pining after Archie to me felt wrong.
Well, she does pine after Archie, but. Okay.
Here we go.
On my notes, I have written poor, sweet Betty Cooper.
Yes.
Because, you know, in the comics, she's sort of the most well-adjusted person in Riverdale, right? Yep. She is normal. She's a good student. She's a mechanic. She's good at sports. Like, she's sort of all around well-adjusted here. Here, she's hooked on Adderall. She's cutting her hands with her fingernails. Like, you know, they. I was really having a hard time with some of that Betty stuff. I thought a lot of it was really good. I thought the stuff with her and Archie was nice. I don't like the idea of him not having feelings for her. I hope that's just a feint.
But, well, because what they've done is that the whole show is built around the death of Jason Blossom, and a byproduct of that is the revelation that over the summer Archie had an affair with the music teacher, right?
Poor sweet Mrs. Grundy, who in the comics is a nice sweet old lady with gray hair.
Yep.
Here is like
she's a hot 20-something, and
a 20-something teacher who
drives a VW Bug.
14-year-old Archie,
and so she and Archie have this torrid love affair, and they happen to have heard the gunshot that killed Jason Blossom, but they didn't say anything because then they have to explain why they were together by the river when that happened, and so they share a secret, and Archie is distracted by this music teacher because he wants her to teach him music, and she thinks he wants to continue the relationship, and you're not quite sure whether he does or doesn't. And it was just my biggest problem with this is I'm all in for watching it, but I talked to my sister this morning, and I'm wrestling with it because my 13-year-old niece loves Archie comics.
Yeah.
And my sister said, "Can she watch this?" And I went, "Oh man, I don't know." But that said, at 13, I was watching 90210 and Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
This has a student sleeping with a teacher. It has a random and I felt out of place girl on girl kiss.
That was completely.
It has. It has a potential murder or suicide kind of heavy kind of thing. It has the Adderall stuff. It has, and then they do have Kevin Keller, which is great. But Kevin Keller goes off to hook up with Moose, who I guess is closeted. And it just like I'm like I don't know if it might be too much for a 13-year-old. I don't know. I'm struggling with it.
Is she in high school?
No, she's in eighth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, next year she'll be in high school.
Yeah, next year. Yeah.
I think she can watch it.
Yeah, I think so too. Because the thing is like you and I should have been watching Twin Peaks at 13, and we turned out all right.
So
did we?
So poor sweet Mrs. Grundy is the first thing I wrote down. I could not believe they made her hot and then slept with Archie and all this stuff. Yeah. Although he had great abs, so I don't really blame her. Poor sweet Mr. Andrews, and we'll talk more about him. But they so Archie's instead of having the loving home, Archie's got a divorced family. His mother lives in Chicago, and he's got a single parent dad and who's down on his luck. Well, not really because they have a business, but still. Yeah. Poor sweet Betty Cooper. And then a couple of things that I'm really hoping that – okay, TV pilots are often – they make a lot of changes between the pilots in the second episode, so we'll see. I'm really hoping that Asian Reggie has more to do than just say bro and talk about sex all the time.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. Yeah.
Reggie is one of the main villains of the world. He's the male counterpart to Veronica. He's cunning. He's smart. Right. He's evil. And here he's been reduced to sort of a bro who just, you know, is high-fiving everybody because they get action. And it's just like he was barely in it and had nothing to do. And when he did do stuff, it was
stupid. It was like an American Pie-esque.
Yeah, so you know, I'm really hoping they sort Reggie out because he's a big deal. They've, you know, Cheryl Blossom now in the comics is sort of she's similar to how she's portrayed here as sort of the alpha bad girl. They've given her more of Veronica's point, sort of place in the world.
Yes,
than
yeah.
Veronica. And this is also happening in the Wade comics, and so she's kind of the bad guy, And Veronica is sort of that way. So I know adding a third for Reggie would be, might be too much, but still it felt weird having Reggie be so such a non-entity
right.
in this. You know, he's always the one that's fighting Archie for Veronica. So it just felt odd that he was so shunted off to the side. Moose was weird. Only because he seemed like a retread of the character from Glee.
Yep.
The closeted football player.
Like, and I thought this. I thought the same. I thought the same. Yeah, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, "Oh, here's the big burly guy who's secretly gay." I'm like, "We saw this on Glee already," which is, you know, yeah. So,
The other thing is, does the CW not have a casting director that can find a blonde actor anywhere? Because between Barry Allen over The Flash, although he's great, Moose and Kevin Keller, they're all played by brunette guys. And the problem was to me when they were all standing around. It just looked like a bunch of brunette guys. And I was like, so which one's Moose? Which one is like, and who's that guy? Like, when you all look different.
And like, and you didn't have like, I thought at least put like, they gave Jughead, you can't have Jughead wear the crown from the comics, but they gave him like a knitted hat with a crown kind of element. So like, okay, that's the thing. So at least have Moose in the jersey shirt, you know? Right. So I'm like, oh, that's Moose, you know, like give me you've got Veronica with the pearls and you got Betty with the ponytail and Archie with the red hair. I need better visual cues for Reggie and for Moose. You know, Cheryl Blossom is a redhead. So that's that, you know, but
also because there was one point where it was Reggie and Moose and a third brunette guy who was never identified. So I was like, so I'm just looking at three brunette guys wearing regular clothes. So who is who here? And you need to have, that's why if Moose is blonde and he also wasn't that big, get a bigger guy.
Yeah.
If then at least you know who you're looking at. Yeah. So,
I thought Kevin Keller was a great addition. I mean, you know, he's the, you know, gay, you know, like the gay character that they created a couple years ago and like just fit in that. Like it really, like I was telling my sister when we were talking about whether my niece, I'm like, it really is, it's well represented in terms of the world, you know, in terms of, you know, these kind of character types and things like that. Do we talk about the parents?
Well, let's get to that. So, but ultimately, I think the cast is strong. My nitpicks aside, I'm really excited for Veronica's father to show up at some point.
Yes.
Whatever they do with him. Anyway, let's talk about the parents.
So, yeah. So first, Betty's mother, Alice Cooper, is played by Machen Amick, which you might remember from Twin Peaks. So I did not know about this. I was very excited to see that. And I mean, Veronica's mother, Hermione Lodge, played Marisol Nichols, who just give or take, she's playing the, you know, the scorned, you know, rich wife type thing. But Archie's father, Fred Andrews, is played by none other than Luke Perry, also known as Dylan from 90210, which doesn't make me feel old at all. You're old. I'm not old. You're old. Jerk. He's great. Don't you say a bad word about him.
Oh no, he's great. What I'm saying is the tone of the show clearly borrows a lot from 90210, the original, and not the remake, and from Twin Peaks. And so they have someone representing each show.
Yes.
I don't know if that's intentional or not, but that's, I mean, the vibe is definitely, you know, there's a body. It's not wrapped in plastic, but it shows up on the riverbank, and it's a small town. And
it's very, I explained it to my girlfriend this morning. I'm like, yeah, it's 90210 Gossip Girl-esque meets Twin Peaks. That's kind of my take on it, you know, but probably without the mysticism of Twin Peaks, I hope.
Well, you know, never know.
We bring in Sabrina and you got that going, right?
in season six, they need to bring the Afterlife of Archie storyline in. We might have the mysticism, but I like that. I thought it wrote a really fine tonal line and it worked because it's very soapy. It's very melodramatic, but it also is serious and it has kind of weird Twin Peaksy mystery. Everybody's got a dark secret tone. And they pulled it off, I thought.
Yeah.
It's a tricky tone, but they did it.
Yeah.
Good. And Luke Perry's great. His face is a little leathery. But you know, he's Luke Perry. He looks awesome. He used to date Veronica's mother in high school because she's a Riverdale native, and now he's a single dad, so, you know.
Yeah, it could happen.
It's going to get complicated.
It felt like if this show wasn't based on Archie and all that whole kind of mythology, I would probably still watch it because I feel like they're setting up a nice kind of little world, and like there's enough of the romance and the drama, but then you layer in the murder mystery and all that sort of stuff. But the fact that it's built on this mythology that we've known for 75 years of the Archie comics, and to me that just adds to it and it extends it. It shows that these characters can exist in a modern world, and I think that the folks behind Archie and behind the show should be really proud, because I think it's nice to see this move into a new generation, you know?
Right.
So
now I'm making the mistake of looking at the cast credits.
Oh.
And so Ethel is coming.
Okay.
But I don't see a Midge. And I'm definitely not seeing Chuck.
Okay.
And I'm definitely not seeing Mr. Weatherby.
Oh, jeez.
Even though he was referenced in the show.
Yeah.
Seems odd to not have Chuck, you know, who is himself a very progressive character in the fact that he existed at all.
Yeah.
As, you know, sort of their black friend in a time when there wasn't a lot of black characters, not be on the show.
Yeah.
And I only see Dilton in one episode of the 13 that are listed. So that's
man, weird. I had no idea you were this deep on Archie. Man.
Oh wow, they recast Dilton. There's two people listed as Dilton. Interesting.
Interesting indeed.
All right. So,
what? Say it.
I know who's coming as Archie's mother.
Who? I think I know this too.
Molly Ringwald.
Yes, I did know that.
This show is like built for you, even though you're not a big Archie fan.
It really is. And it's got, and also Skeet Ulrich is coming.
That's right.
So, which is okay. So you'd say, okay, I'm sorry. Now we're looking a further and ahead. But if you go to the on the Wikipedia page, there's recurring cast and it's upcoming people, and we've got Skeet Ulrich as F.P. Jones. Is that a character you recognize from the comics?
He must be.
He's the leader of the Southside Serpents, a gang of criminals that live and operate on the fringes of Riverdale.
He must be Jughead's brother.
Yeah, he's a mysterious connection to Jughead. His last name is Jones, so yeah, clearly there's going to tie into that. This could be great. I think this could be a lot of fun.
That's the main thing. It was a lot of fun. It's crazy. It's totally crazy and melodramatic and campy and soapy and fun. Where in Long Island is this town?
It's not in Long Island. It's Rockland. It's Rockland County.
Oh,
it's upstate. Yeah, it's upstate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's not Long Island with the with the river and all that bullshit. No, it's north of New York City.
Is it Orange County?
No, it's literally Rockland County. I mean, it's the border of New York and New Jersey. So it's across the Hudson River from Sleepy Hollow and Tarrytown. It's Nyack, Stony Point, Congers, like all those Spring Valley, those towns. So
right,
Sloatsburg.
Okay.
So
overall, you enjoyed it and are looking forward to more.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's bring our ratings. Ratings. One out of 1 to 5. What is your rating?
I give it a 4.5.
4.5. I give it a 4.5. Yeah. If anything, apparently according to Wikipedia, Riverdale is supposed to be Mamaroneck.
Yeah, it was The comic takes place in Long Island.
No, Mamaroneck is Westchester County.
No, but that's wrong.
No, it's not.
No, I'm saying, I know Mamaroneck is wrong. I'm saying the comic's supposed to be Long Island.
No, the comic has always been, it's based on Mamaroneck, which is Westchester. It's not Long Island.
I've always read the comic as taking place in Long Island.
No, Long Island doesn't look like, yeah. So, you know, it's. But anyway, so nonetheless, I give it a 4.5. My criticisms being, I thought when Betty and Veronica kissed at the cheerleaders tryouts was superfluous. Some of the casting stuff, but strong, good for a first episode. Count me in. So sticking with it, I am. Connor, you sticking with it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Now here's the downside.
Okay.
The debut ratings were 60% lower than Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Well, so there, everybody, give it a shot, you know? Like, give it a, you know, so there it is.
It's tough. A lot of stuff was going on last night as we record this. There was the return of Scandal. There was the Mary Tyler Moore special. I can't imagine there was a lot of crossover with that audience, but still.
I would like
It didn't do debut well, I'll just say that.
I would like to make a couple of notes about the location of Riverdale. Yes. In Jackpot Comics number 5, Spring 1942, The gang is going on a river trip, and one panel says, this is all according to Wikipedia, one panel says, the good ship Peter Syveston and settles into the Hudson. So, all right. So there you go.
Okay. So it's in Westchester.
Yeah, I say it's in, I was going to say it's in Westchester. I was going to say it's north Rockland County, north of Westchester, on the beginning of upstate. So,
okay.
That's, and that gives you the small town feeling, and that's why Veronica coming from New York City makes sense and all that sort of stuff. So
there you go.
Viva Luke Perry. Great to see him back on TV. He's great. So there you go. My favorite.
If you're looking for a new teen drama, this is it. There's nothing else.
This definitely fills the void from Gossip Girl and things like that for me. So yeah, totally. So.
Yeah, I loved this. I really did. I thought this was riveting.
Yeah.
It could have gone 2 hours longer. I'd have been fine.
Yeah. Totally great.
So I'll be watching every week. So there you go. If you watch Riverdale, you want to tell us what you thought, you go to iFanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. You can talk about it down there.
Yeah.
And Ron and I won't be back talking about the next episode, but maybe we'll talk about it here and there.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to hear us talk about Riverdale, go to patreon.com/iFanboy, sign up, become a patron. More than likely, we will talk about TV on our monthly patron hangouts. That's a good spot to do it there.
I can't wait to talk about this with Josh. You'll love it.
Yeah, exactly. And stay tuned. If you like TV, keep listening, subscribe to our feed. We're going to be talking about Powerless, the new superhero-inspired sitcom on NBC, as well as Legion on FX, the X-Men-inspired comic book TV show. Lots of comics TV now. It's like the next wave of the geeks inheriting the Earth, right?
I feel like there's like 15 TV shows or something like that.
It's insane. Insane. So...
All right.
All right, cool. So, so definitely stay tuned. Until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.